Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Breaking My Podcast. Today we're here with Sarah Goldney, and is that the right way of pronouncing it?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Cool. And I don't know, what would you say you're a poet, or would you say you've written a poem book? I don't know what you call the poem.
I've written a poetry book. I wouldn't quite call it.
Okay, written a poetry book. Nearly, maybe on the next one. This is the book, and we're just going to have a chat about poetry and, I suppose, the meaning of poetry. And I don't know, we'll see. I've got a load of questions, but we probably won't get through them all. We'll just see where it goes. Yeah. So let's start off with the first question, which is, why did you write a poetry book? Because, you know, I don't think a poetry book's been written for like 50 years. I don't know what sort of, well, maybe I don't know anything about poetry, so I'm a complete novice. So you have to advise me.
That was literally me. So essentially,
was it? Okay.
I didn't know anything about poetry. I wasn't interested in poetry. I hadn't read any poetry at all. And then I downloaded TikTok when TikTok became a big thing. And I saw a few people kind of like reading spoken word poetry on there with kind of music in the background, and just didn't really see it as poetry, saw it as kind of performance and almost more like songwriting, if anything. Just took an interest to it and thought I'd try it out. Wrote a few things in my journal and just didn't tell anyone, didn't show anyone. Kept it for a while. And then I think one day I just grew the courage to put it on TikTok, put a little video on there of just me reading a poem with some music in the background. Well, what I would call a poem at the time. And it seemed to get a little bit of traction. Like, some people kind of enjoyed it. And I was like, maybe I could keep doing this. Like, this seems like something I enjoy, and other people seem to be enjoying it as well. So I just kind of kept doing that for a while, just literally just writing down things that I thought sounded nice. And that was it. Just words that sounded nice together that kind of made a bit of sense. And then called it poetry, and have done ever since. And then got to the point when I had quite a lot of things on my TikTok account that people were enjoying listening to and reading and things. And people were asking if I could write it down and have it as a written format, as well as me speaking about them and having them with music. I think it was a year ago, yeah, last summer, I just sat down for about a week straight and wrote all of the poems down that I had collectively from the past 2 years. Wow. Of posting them on TikTok. And then just formatted them into a book and self-published them. And yeah.
That is so cool. That's such an original thing to do, isn't it? No, I really like it. Fair play to you. I remember when it came out, I was like, yeah, that is awesome, because you took initiative and you went and did it on your own and you collated all these things. And I think that's one of the takeaways I took from it is, like, how did you write so many poems? I mean, like, how many pages has this thing got? Like 350 or something?
Yeah, I think lots of people ask me that, like, how did you come up with so many and write them all down? And to be fair, I kind of see that book as a collection of the first 2 years of me writing things. So it's not like I wrote them all in one week and put them in a book. No. Like, it was just a collection of all of the things I'd written, which for a first book I thought was quite nice, because it was just, there wasn't much structure to it. I literally had no idea what I was doing when I was writing it. I just threw a load of poems onto pages and published it, and just thought, in that way, I kind of liked how it was kind of messy and just a collection of all of my thoughts from the past 2 years. So it wasn't actually as hard as I thought it was going to be collecting them, because they'd been written over a span of 2 years, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you saved them all from 2 years. You had them all written down and you kept them. That's really good. But And you're right about the sort of, when you said the sort of somewhat chaotic nature of it, I think that's really, especially for a first book, it's quite genuine. It's genuine to what poetry is, in the way that the brain works and the mind works. And you just get it all down on paper and you just get it, and then off you go. And the great thing about it is you can open it on any page and you can find, you know, it's not like there's chapters where you go, this says this, and then that says this. This is about nature. This is about love. It's just open up. I think that's really cool. I'll ask a cliche question just because it's interesting. What have you got a favorite poem? I'm sure everyone asks you that, but have you got, I know you've got ones that have got the, what are they called? QR codes. Are those your favorites or are those just, what is it you think?
I think at the time, those were the ones that I thought like flowed nicely and I really enjoyed reading out loud. But in terms of a I don't think I have one singular favorite poem.
That's understandable.
Book, but I think, yeah, I think the ones that I put the QR codes on and that I wanted that, because I think some of them, when I read them, I can see a performance in my head more than I can see just someone reading it at home, if that makes sense. Like I can envision creating something that has music behind it and that creates a proper atmosphere and that flows really nicely and sounds almost like a song more than a poem. And those were the ones that I kind of felt like did that. And I think because of that and the way that I just love to read them, they're probably like my favorite ones from the book. Yeah.
That's good. Because I scrolled back on your TikTok and you've been uploading for like a couple of years, haven't you? You've been uploading you speaking about it for a few years. And the one that I clicked on, you were you playing the piano at the same time as saying, as reading one?
Yeah, there was a phase that I went through. Yeah. My dad bought me a little keyboard. That must have been quite a while ago. Yeah, that must be quite fun. That's on TikTok.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So essentially, when I first saw the spoken word poetry on TikTok, there were some people that would do it kind of playing instruments and speaking at the same time, almost like spoken word songs in a sense. And I just loved the idea of that. And then I had a very specific way of putting poems with songs. Like I would search for hours on TikTok or on Spotify trying to find songs that would perfectly fit with what I was saying. Like the way that the music would flow would fit the way that the poem flowed, and it would just they would fit perfectly. I'd spend ages trying to find them, and at some point I think I just decided I couldn't find one, so I was gonna just make one myself and play the keyboard a little bit, which I had no idea how to do. I still don't. But it was just a bit of fun. I think I don't take it too seriously, because that's when it becomes, there's too much pressure on me and my creativity gets a bit dulled. So if I just play around and do whatever I want, then it normally turns out a lot better, which is what I was doing at that point when I was playing the keyboard really badly.
No, it wasn't badly. It was you're right, the cadence and the rhythm to it, the way that it matched up. Sometimes I put reels up of like clips of movies that I think have got like a deeper meaning to them, that try and attach a song, and if you can combine those two sort of art forms, it can create something that's even more powerful, can't it? And that's really, I like that. Fair play. Yeah, that's good. And Ross can teach to play the piano anyway, so, although he is in New Zealand, so that is a bit of a problem.
He's been playing me some of his songs.
No, it's all right. It's been...
See, of course it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Ross. What a legend. We love Ross. Big up, Ross. So, should we talk about your podcast? I know we'll go back to poetry. Do you want to talk about Good Film Hunting? How's that going? Yes.
It's going well. We just finished what we called season one. Which was what me and Ross describe as kind of chaotic. Just, we always knew that the first season of any podcast that we were going to do was going to be a little bit of chaos and take a while to kind of get into the flow of things. But we both agreed that by the end, we kind of got into it a little bit more. And when we look back on the first few episodes, they're way different. But it's just this similar thing to what I was saying a minute ago about kind of just taking everything very relaxed. I think we we just take the podcast in a way that's like, let's just talk about whatever we want to talk about and base it around films. We never wanted it to be too like technical or too wordy. Well, like, we wanted it to be something that people could just listen to and relax and enjoy and laugh at, or just hear what we were getting up to and what we were chatting about, which I think has been pretty successful.
Definitely. Yeah. You two are a good duo. You bounce off each other well, and you are right about there's no need for it to be too formal. And in fact, those are the most popular podcasts, really, the ones that are more informal, and they flow, and you know, the conversation darts around and goes to multiple different places. So that's, yeah, fair play. That's good.
Yeah.
When are you starting season two? Have you recorded that? Have you started?
We haven't started recording it yet. We are planning currently and just trying to find a time when we're both free and how it's going to work, because we need to figure it out in terms of...
If he's not asleep.
Yeah.
Just waking up.
Which obviously is going to get a lot harder when we both... Well, he's already started uni, and when I start uni, it's going to be a struggle. But we're trying to figure out times when we can do it, and hopefully we'll get them all done in kind of a chunk when we're free, and it should be fine. We'll figure it out.
That's a good idea. Somehow. Right, let's get back to poetry. So is there a unifying theme or value that you think underpins your poems? Do you see any patterns emerging yourself and think, oh, that's interesting?
I think I thought about this just before we started, and I was thinking, this is a question I was thinking about for a while, because I don't think...
Not wanting me to ask.
No, I did want you to ask, because I kind of am just trying to explore it myself. Like, I find it quite interesting. But I think in terms of like themes, there's obviously a few overarching themes that pop up. The general themes in poetry anyway, like love, friendship, yeah. Big themes like that obviously pop up a lot. I don't think, and I went through a phase of trying to break away from what I usually write about and be a bit more adventurous. But I think I always tend to come back to a similar style instead of a theme, which is quite childish and simple. And I was thinking about most of the poems that I write in general, and especially the ones that kind of come out more naturally, are the ones which I could put into a conversation and it would still sound fine, if that makes sense. It's a strange concept that I was thinking about, but I was thinking about poetry in terms of how a lot of people see poetry, which is big, complicated words and complicated concepts
that archaic language.
Dive into, yeah, which like literature has to kind of be unpicked to be able to understand, which is not what I go for at all. And I think that makes a lot of sense, seeing as I never was into poetry massively, and it was never something that I never read poetry or, you know, was educated on poetry. But I think that's maybe why I like to create and read poetry that's simple and almost like a child can understand it, but it's beautiful in like a simple way, in that lots of people can relate to it because it could be put in a conversation and it can be understood by a lot of people. And I think that's what I tend to come back to a lot of the time, just because if I find it really easy to understand and to relate to, I feel like a lot of other people are going to be able to do the same. And to me, that's kind of what makes a poem stick, is if I read something and I really relate to it, or I really, really understand what the poet is trying to say, that will kind of make it memorable for me. So I think that tends to be generally what I come back to instead of a certain theme. It's more a concept and a structure, I think.
That's very true. One of the things I always talk about, there's a psychologist called Carl Jung who said, like at the later stage in life, one of the things that people need to do is they need to rediscover the sort of the enthusiasm and the, I guess, wide-eyed nature of children, so that they can start to see things the way that they saw them when they were younger. Because what happens is when we see something over and over again, we don't actually see the thing. We see a representation of all the combined things, all the combined sort of iterations that we've seen throughout our lives. So we can't appreciate it anymore, because it just becomes boxed in to this thing. And what you're kind of saying is that you write through the eyes of a child. And that's a really, really sort of refreshing, I suppose, it's, you know what I mean? You write with that sort of childlike manner, because it's very relatable, and it's very important. We lose that as we get older. So that's really good. But
yeah, I definitely think that's really interesting, actually, because one of the other things I was thinking about was in terms of sort of why I write certain poems, or when I'm going to write poems, looking at things that I tend to look at generally, be that an emotion or an experience or an object that I want to write something about, I will look at them a lot when I'm trying to write poetry, but I always look at them the exact same way. And one of the ways that I try to write poems is to try and like look at it from a different perspective, or go back to the things that are very mundane and very simple and everyone sees in everyday life, and try and like reimagine it in a kind of way that's not overcomplicating it, but like simplifying it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah, that makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. And as you're right, I'm trying to think of a word, but the word is relating, the relatable, and therefore everyone can relate to it. It's not complicated or esoteric, or is it exoteric? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, So do you like pick a topic and then branch off around it, or do you branch off? Do you start small and go big, or start big and go small into the poem, if you understand that?
Yeah, it completely depends. It very much depends on what kind of mindset I'm in when writing. For example, like if I am putting not pressure on myself, but if I'm in a state where I'm like, I really want to write a poem about this concept or about this idea, I will tend to start with the idea and then kind of go outwards and think of different concepts and different ways to explain it or different ways to look at it, and just see what comes out of that. But I find that that's kind of normally not a method that works the best for me. That sometimes gets me a little bit stuck, because I get so focused on this one idea that I stop allowing myself to expand and think more creatively about other things that my brain might want to be thinking about. So most of the time I find that it sounds really strange, but getting myself into a creative mindset really is like relaxing my thoughts and just letting whatever comes out come out. And then the way that most of my poems are written is they just kind of appear, which sounds so annoying, but they just kind of like, I'll think of a line and then suddenly I'll think of another line that rhymes or sounds really nice or expands on that concept, and I kind of have to like grab a pen and paper really quickly and it just like flows out of me and then I'm done. And that's the really nice way that it happens. Or I'll write a few lines and think I really like those few lines, but I can't move it any further because I've got stuck. It happens very differently every time I write, but I do tend to find that like working outwards and starting with a concept just tends to get me a little bit more stuck, because I get so focused on it, and like allowing things to kind of just appear and expand kind of outwards in is normally what works better for me. But it completely depends.
Absolutely. Yeah. The degree So true art, a true artist is, they are sort of dictated by their intuition, and the degree to which you're manifesting sort of true art is, it comes from your intuition, I suppose, or, you know, your idea. You know, when people say I had an idea, you know, no one knows what that really means. What does it mean to have an idea? Where does it come from? What is having an idea? But that is and it is, you know, sort of, I don't know if spiritual is the right word, but it's along that lines, I guess, of something coming out of nothing, and then there you go, and then you just hopefully the dominoes roll, and then you get writing. And as you said, you've got to have a pen and paper nearby, haven't you? Or write down on your phone.
Yeah, I definitely find that it's sometimes like, it's hard to explain, but it sometimes is just like an idea appears and then a chain reaction happens and it gets the rest of it done quickly. And if you don't kind of take the opportunity to write it down or capture it when it's there, you lose it. And that's the most frustrating thing, is if I think of something that I think could be really good and then forget it 10 seconds later.
Yeah, it literally is like that, isn't it? You do forget it 5 seconds later and you're like, would you say that you write mainly from your own experience, or do you write from observing things, maybe just out in general, or from a film, or from one of Ross's songs? You know, where do you think you get your ideas from?
I don't know. I think it's a mix of a lot of different things normally, but I tend to, because when I get inspiration from, say, like, one of my favorite places to go and write poetry is on the beach. I'll sit on the beach and just write from what I can see around me, which is great. But I do also find that sometimes, because I can go to the beach whenever I want, I can get poems that resurface that are very similar, like centering around the sea or the stones or the people on the beach. And to me, that gets a little bit like exhausting, and I want something else to inspire me. So I do find that being in places where there's not a lot of inspiration around me helps me to kind of write things about experiences that I've had or memories that I have. Like, I like writing when I'm on the train, because I can kind of just zone out and think but not think, as in I just kind of let my subconscious take over, and random, like, it's kind of strange how what the randomest things can just pop into your head when you're letting your mind just kind of run free, which is where I find the most interesting things come from, I think. Because if I'm trying too hard consciously to think about things, it becomes very a little bit too inside the box.
Yeah.
Very false.
It's disingenuous then.
Definitely. But I think in terms of writing from my experience, I definitely do that a lot. I think it's the easiest thing to do, because obviously you know firsthand how you felt, and you can, although it's hard to explain feelings a lot of the time, it is a lot easier when you felt them. So it's definitely something that I do a lot, is write about, you know, memories or feelings or experiences that I've had. But I also do like to try and put myself in the position of someone else in something that I've never experienced, just as an exercise to try and explain things that I don't really know about, which I find quite interesting. I used to have on my TikTok, when I very first started posting, a lot of people would comment, could you write a poem about this or that, or some kind of experience that they'd had that I am completely not oblivious to, but had never experienced. And I would try and write things, and a lot of the time would post them on my TikTok, and they'd be very thankful that I'd kind of put their emotions into words, which is crazy that I can manage to do that, because I didn't even think I was capable of. But it has become something that I really enjoy doing, is like trying to explain how I think I would feel in someone else's shoes, or how I would feel in a different situation that I've never been in, because it's a good way of like expanding my mind. Because, you know, if I'm sat on the beach every day struggling to come up with things, putting myself in someone else's shoes is a great way to like just expand that a little bit.
Yeah. If one of the ways that if you, I suppose you can increase your creativity is, one is go to a new environment and new situation, and that exposes you to new stimulus, and that, which is clearly, you know, what you do when you write your poems and what everyone does in general, and that has a knock-on effect. And then the other is to try and empathize in situations that you haven't been able to, that you haven't previously thought of in the past, and that can also, it's like a, you know, it's like a bubble or a something that you've got to push. You've got to push on the outskirts all the time to keep stretching yourself and keep stretching your capabilities. You use a lot of rhyme in your poems. What do you think? Why do you think rhyming is such a thing, popular phenomena in terms of in both poetry and songs? Why do we like rhymes? Why do you use them as well?
I don't know. I think it's actually a thing that I've thought about for a while, because when I first started writing poems, every single line would rhyme on purpose, because I thought that poems had to rhyme. Like, I think because I didn't really know much about it, I was like, oh, if I'm going to call it a poem, then it needs to rhyme, because otherwise it doesn't count, which is not the case at all. But I also just really liked the way that the flow and the cadence is so much neater and kind of brings everything together when it rhymes, in my opinion. And it's always been something that I really love doing, is creating, because it can be easy to rhyme, but it can also be very hard to rhyme in new ways, obviously, because songs and poems are created all the time that have very classic rhymes, like simple words that rhyme, that we know that rhyme, but creating more complex rhymes can be hard. And I think it's kind of a fun thing to do, to create a flow of words that have a rhythm that no one's heard before, because they've never seen those two words rhyme together or things like that. It's an interesting avenue to add to the poetry that can make it more song-like, and especially in songs as well. Songs that rhyme really well are something that I've always been more attracted to and listen to more, just because I feel like, I don't know, I'm quite a perfectionist and I like things to be very well-rounded and sound really satisfying and nice to listen to. And I think when I write a poem that rhymes really nicely and it ends on a rhyme, I like that it's kind of gone full circle and it sounds finished and it flows nicely, I think. Is the reason why I do it, I think. Yeah,
no, it's the completion, isn't it? The completion of the story, almost, because, as you know, we're so obsessed with narrative and stories, humans, it's like built right into us. And when I was talking to a hypnotherapist the other day, and she was talking about how the trauma is effectively, one way of seeing trauma is it's the incompletion of a story. So it's like there's this, you know, something happened, and then there was just this cutoff where you weren't able to complete what happened to the person. And we love those full endings. And, you know, we see in the story mountain in a film, the equilibrium and then back to the new equilibrium. It's there's something satisfying about the completion. So I think that makes complete sense. And rhyming is a good way of rounding off that phenomena. So that's cool.
Definitely. I think recently, though, I have been trying to break out of my habit of rhyming absolutely everything a little bit, just because I've been trying to be less of a perfectionist, because I like things to sound perfect and finish off nicely and be very like well-rounded, like you said. But I've been seeing a lot of poets recently that have a very relaxed conversation like nature, that doesn't rhyme at all. And I really like some of them. They're very like, I don't know what, how to explain them, but just so natural. Because obviously when you rhyme, it can sound a little bit like forced,
effortless,
scripted, or like,
yeah.
Yeah. And this, they sound, and especially I was doing a TikTok live a few weeks ago, and I read, I didn't even call it a poem, but it was just a little passage that I'd wrote about someone that I'd met on the beach that was a complete stranger. And I read it out on my TikTok live, and a lot of people said, this sounds really different to the things that you normally write because it just doesn't rhyme at all. It kind of just sounded like a diary entry or something. But they was like, it sounds really natural. It sounds almost like you're just speaking, telling a story, which is something that I'm trying to kind of delve into now in my poetry, because I like how kind of broken it sounds and just very, very natural and like in conversation.
I feel like poetry is kind of an untapped resource in society and art. It doesn't really get much of a look in. It doesn't get much of a say. You know, I badmouthed it, I think, accidentally a bit in the beginning, but I didn't mean it in a bad way. I meant it in the sense of no one really, you know, it's like you do GCSE, you do it in literature, you do your poetry in literature, and then you sort of forget about poetry. And I suppose it is integrated into songs, but yeah. I feel like there's more of a utilization of poetry and what it could do, which you've obviously tapped into, so fair play to you, and that's why you've got that's why you're doing so well, so that's really good.
No, I was going to say, I definitely think that, because just you mentioning poetry at GCSE then definitely reminded me of kind of how there's like a stereotype of poetry, I think, that's...
Completely is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
When you're taught things like that, that a lot of people go off of in GCSE and when they're learning about poetry, because one, learning about things in such a forced manner in school kind of puts you off things anyway, but also the type of poetry that you learn about at school is very much what I was saying earlier, like a lot of complex ideas and complicated words that people have to Google to understand, and that kind of ruins the experience of poetry and like the whole point of it. But I think in general, the whole concept of poetry is kind of being a little bit like rearranged, and a lot of it is coming back as poetry can be anything, can be two sentences that you've written down, that you can call that poetry. It doesn't have to be a certain structure, or you don't have to use a certain tempo or rhyme or whatever for it to be able to be called poetry, which I think is what a lot of people kind of overlook, and one of the reasons that they kind of don't tap into it is because it seems like this complex thing that you can only understand if you're good at literature and you understand English really well, and it's not really, I don't think.
Absolutely, yeah. It's stereotyped, isn't it, as a incredibly complicated and uncool, I guess, probably as a result of like GCSE and stuff. But we consume poetry on a daily basis anyway, because we listen to songs, and that is just poetry. So
yeah,
you know, there's a lot of, you probably have to be, maybe not actually, because I did just say it was like songs, but you have to have a bit of a temperament to enjoy poetry, I guess. Have to be quite creative, which you obviously are, because you know, these things come to you and you put them down. So, but as you said, as we've talked about, you write in a less formal and more conversation-like manner, which is, goes against what I just said. But yeah, I don't know anything about poetry, so I really am, we're working on, we're just, I just going all through it myself first time, so
don't need to. But then, no, what you're saying about songs is actually really interesting, because I always feel like there's a really fine line between poetry and songwriting, as in they're practically intertwined, yeah. In the sense of I play the guitar a little bit and I'm into like music quite a lot, and I find that sometimes I'll write poems and I just can't read it as a poem. Like in my head, it just needs to be a song. It's especially the ones that are kind of a little bit more forced and have a lot of rhyming patterns and have a bit more structure to them. I'm like, this doesn't work as a poem. Like this would be way better as a song, which has definitely recently got me into writing a lot more songs than it has poems. Like I've been writing more songs than poems at the minute, which is something that I just never thought I would do because I've never been a songwriter. But it just seems that like poetry very much translates into that, which I found really interesting.
You've been practicing songwriting without even knowing it because, you know, as you said, your poetry and you're drawing from your own experiences, which is what all great songs incorporate. So if you say you're doing songwriting, how does a song differentiate from a poem, and how does your, you said it's complicated because a lot of this stuff is just going to be, oh, it just feels different. But in as best as you can, what do you think differentiates a poem and a song? I mean, you did just say the rhyming thing, I guess, but how's the process different?
Yeah, but then I think a poem could, for example, I could take some of the songs that I've written and read it as a poem, and it could make perfect sense and probably sound quite nice. But I think songwriting is that much harder, just in the sense of finding a melody, because it's like I could just play the guitar and read the poem at the same time, in which that would kind of just be spoken word with a bit of guitar behind it, like what I normally do. But finding a bit more of a melody and like more of a, I don't know, more of a flow within the poem that can make it into lyrics. And also, it can't be too long because that would be a really long song, and it can't be too short. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like you kind of, I get a sense of this could make a perfect verse for a song, usually is what happens. I'll write a poem, read it out and be like, this rhymes perfectly, is the perfect length for a verse. Maybe I could try and make a chorus. And then it kind of just flows from there, in the same way that the chain reaction happens when I write a poem.
Of course.
Which is completely new to me. Like I've never done that before, so I can't say that I know what I'm doing, but it's kind of just I can read poems and they will make sense in a way that I'm like, I could put this with music and it would make sense. It's kind of hard to explain. It just feels.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you find the writing process therapeutic in any way?
Yes, definitely. I think
yes. That was a big yes.
Writing, yes. I think I was thinking about this before we started as well. Just thinking about the fact that, especially when you're writing from experience, kind of writing poetry to me is kind of like flipping myself inside out, like delving so hard into my brain that I'm discovering things that I didn't realize were there, or picking a concept apart or an experience apart to like lengths that I wouldn't have if I wasn't writing a poem about it, which can be so therapeutic and like almost relaxing, because I can like I find it's quite hard to sit and think. A lot of the time, I'm reading a book at the minute called 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think by Brianna West, I think. And it's amazing. And one of the things that it was saying in one of the essays was that stillness and thinking is a really important thing to do on a daily basis. And essentially, that is what I do when I'm writing poetry, is I just sit and I just think for a while until something comes to me, and allowing myself to do that lets a lot of things kind of consolidate, like a lot of feelings that I might have at the time are consolidated by what I then write down, and I can see how I feel clearly because I've written it down on the page. Or an experience can kind of, 100%. I can unpick how I felt about a certain thing that happened because I think about it, and I allow myself the time to like overanalyze, if you like, you could put it like that. I kind of do overthink everything, and that's how poems come out. So it definitely does feel like a therapeutic thing to do. It's almost like free therapy, like writing down how I feel and thinking about how I feel. And a lot of the time it can be kind of in a negative way, in terms of revisiting things that I don't really want to think about that are like negative emotions, is something that obviously isn't as nice to do, but also I think is quite therapeutic, because I can kind of unpick how I feel about certain things and lay that out. And then it feels a little bit like closure, and like I've come full circle because I've written out how I feel about that situation. So it feels like I've kind of moved on from it now. Or if I'm writing about the future and something that I might be anxious about or worried about, it kind of lets me relax about it because I can speak about it and let that emotion out. Definitely kind of an outlet, a therapeutic outlet. Yeah.
What you kind of just described, it's like it's a meditative practice, effectively. It's what you just laid out there. It's, you allow your, well, it's journaling as well to some degree, isn't it? It's, you know, you're incorporating your creative nature into your own experiences, and you're journaling as you write them down. And the meditative aspect of it is the fact that I've done what you said earlier, which is you find something and then you forget it 5 seconds later. I had it a second ago. You write something down. I suppose your conscious mind is occupied, and then the subconscious, these things rise up out of the layers. Or you could look at it as the layers peeling apart. The things rise up, or the layers peel apart. And you're able to express yourself in a manner that isn't solely cognitive, and it's literal. And then you can get your thoughts out. So yeah, what you described is, you know, as you said, it is kind of free therapy, and also it must regulate you as well. Like, one of the things I was thinking about recently is how we all need to try and find things that regulate us, and in terms of like emotionally regulate us. And if you're a creative person, and if you're overthink as well, which is definitely me and a lot of people, then having something where you can express in, and you know, just not, I suppose it's a cliche, not bottling things up, but you're able to, you can work through things in a methodic way, or at least you can allow your subconscious to. So it's you know, it's regulation, and that's how you clearly regulate yourself to some degree in some ways. And that's great that you found that, because it incorporates multiple aspects of your character, and it helps you at the same time. So it's good. It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely did think it. Sorry.
No. I was.
You know. Okay. I definitely do think that it does that. It feels like it kind of, it's a way of like regulating how I feel. And in the sense of like what you said, it's kind of a meditative state that I go into to write this poem. A lot of the time, because I do like to meditate as well, it's something that I got into a few years ago.
Talk about that.
A lot of the time I find myself kind of procrastinating writing poetry in the same way that I will procrastinate meditating, because I know that it's gonna bring up some emotions that I don't want to feel, or make me think about things that I don't want to think about, or sometimes just takes a bit of like effort to get into that state that will let me flow creatively and let me be in the correct like mindset to be able to write how I want to write. And also in terms of kind of mental barriers, such as like a lot of the time when I go to write, I will have this mental barrier in my head of, if I don't write something that I think is successful, then there was no point in writing it, which is a barrier that I have tried to overcome and I'm still trying to overcome.
Yeah.
Which is definitely kind of like fear of failure, I think, in, which
absolutely
everyone experiences. But in terms of like, I don't know. Like, I don't explore certain ideas because I'll get to a point where I'm like, I don't think this is great anymore. So I'm not going to continue exploring it. But I think I've recently been getting into the habit of pushing myself a bit and being like, no, I need to finish this. It doesn't matter if it's not the best poem in the world. That's a mental barrier that I need to overcome and like a state that I need to get in when I'm in the mindset of writing, is there is no such thing as a bad poem and there's no such thing as me failing. I just need to be creative. And in that sense, that then lets me be way more creative because there's nothing kind of holding me back.
Absolutely, yeah. From a mythological perspective, the fall is the precursor to the hit to the savior. And what that means is that if you're going to be great at something, you have to accept being bad at it to start off with. And I'm not saying that you're bad at it. I'm saying that the part of your brain that goes, I can't do this because it's really bad. You have to... Mm-hmm. engage with that and go, yes, but A, why am I judging it as bad? Because what does that really mean? And maybe I'm judging it as bad in this moment, but I might look back in a week's time and go, actually, that was a lot better than I anticipated it would be. And B, mm-hmm. oh, whoops, B. Damn it. Okay, never mind. So it is about, you know, accepting the element of fall and allowing that to not hold you back. And you should write about poems that you should go to places that you don't want to go to, because there's a great quote, mm-hmm. which is, that which we most need can be found where we least want to look. And I think it's brilliant. It's like, it relates to, you imagine we're all sort of people walking around and we're sort of we're not balanced. We're leaning one way and one way. And if we maybe chuck a few more balls on the other side, we'll balance out a little bit. And it's, you know, we don't want to balance ourselves out because we're leaning a certain manner, but everything. Yeah. And that's what anxiety is. And a lot of what mental health is it's overcoming that. Allowing yourself to go where you don't want to go, because where you don't want to go is where you need to go. And that's a really hard thing to do, to get your head around. So if your brain says don't do something, then that's a good sign. You should probably do it. Not all the time, you know, but within reason. So yeah, that would be my little, yeah, because I think you'll improve. It will, as we talked about earlier, broadening your ability and your capacity. Doing that, writing about what you don't want to write about, would be really, really important.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is something that I'm always like constantly, that's the main thing that I'm working on, is trying to push myself to write about things that I don't want to write about, but also writing in a way that's different to how I normally write, or just writing whatever comes into my head and accepting that might not ever, no one needs to see it if I don't want anyone to see it, which I think becomes a little bit hard when there's a lot of pressure on, like, for example, I'm writing my second book at the moment, and I put pressure on myself to do that at a certain pace and make sure that there's a lot of good poems in there and there's a lot of poems in there. And when I'm wanting to create a certain quantity and a certain quality of something, creating something that isn't of that quantity or quality feels like a failure, which is something that I'm coming to terms with. The fact that, like, I need to get through a lot of bad ones to get to the ones that I deem as good, which is something that is becoming a lot more freeing whilst I'm doing it. Just being able to write things and being like, I don't need to put that anywhere. No one ever needs to read that. I can just have that for me and it's out of my head now, so I don't need to worry about it. Because definitely a lot of the anxieties that build up in my head can come out of poems that I'm like, I don't think that's very good. I just wanted to get that out of my head, kind of thing. Like it's very much
absolutely
also a fine line between poetry and like journaling, because a lot of the things that I could write in my journal could be poems, and a lot of the things that I write as poems could also have just been from my journal, if you get what I mean. Yeah, they're very intertwined.
It's a bit, Ed Sheeran uses the analogy of turning on a tap and how first off, all the rubbishy water comes out. And I suppose if you turn the tap off whilst the rubbishy water's coming out, you'll never get to the good water. You just have to let that rubbishy water come out, and then eventually you'll get a steady stream of the...
That's really interesting.
But it's so, as you were saying that, it's so, it's a great analogy. Yeah. It's so hard. The creative process is so difficult because when I write a blog, it's far more intellectual, and you can kind of be intellectual and cognitive when you're in any mood to some degree. But for me, the creative process is a far more niche of a state of being. And you know, it's a bit like the scientific process is weird, because everyone thinks that the scientific process is really formulaic. But actually, if you look at most scientific discoveries, they're made in a manner that was that is akin to the creative creative discoveries, I guess. So it's in the sense of, you know, they're just random. It's just random scientific discoveries most of the time, which is just what happens with creative discoveries. So it's a niche state of mind to be in, and you are right. A lot of the time it will just strike you when you least expect it. I think the shower is a place that a lot of people have, and walking is another one, which comes back to the whole, it's that feeling of motion, isn't it? I guess, which is something quite liberating. So it's, which is like you on the train and stuff. So how do you think writing poems has impacted the way that you see life? Has it changed your perception of things? Do you see things differently because of what you've written about? That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think I think straight off the bat, that just really made me think of yesterday. I went for a walk to the beach, and I'd sat on the beach and I was kind of just people watching and looking at the scenery, and I thought to myself, the way that I'm seeing this scene right now is, I can very easily write something to explain what I'm seeing right now. Whereas take it back 3 or 4 years, I wouldn't have even taken the time to appreciate that. I don't think, like, it's, I think the one thing it has done is made me be a bit more in tune with the way that I perceive the world and the way that I see things and explain things to other people. Because the poem that I was writing actually was about how I perceive that specific scene on that specific day, and how all the other people on the beach are going to be experiencing the exact same thing but won't be able to explain it in the same way that I do, because they're different to me. And that was kind of the idea that I was rolling with that. And it kind of makes me think of that, because it's like, it's become a very personal, like, exploration in a lot of senses of, like, I understand myself a little bit more, I think. I understand the way that I see things and the way that I experience things and how that is slightly different to other people. But at the same time, kind of challenges me to, like, explore the fact that the way that I'm seeing things and explaining things through my poetry isn't going to be the way that everyone else sees it. And a lot of the time that will surface itself on my TikTok or when I'm reading things to other people and they're like, I just don't get this. I don't understand it, or I can't resonate with that. I can't relate to that. And that has always been a really eye-opening thing for me, because it's like, how can I try and write about something in a way that I don't experience it, if that makes sense, in a way that someone else might be seeing this that isn't exactly from my experience. Kind of what we were saying earlier of like putting yourself in someone else's shoes. I think I never used to even stop and look at certain things that might influence me now, whereas now I will take the time to stop and appreciate them and also try and look at them from a different perspective of like, if I wasn't me, how might I describe this or explain this scenario or situation or whatever it might be. It's definitely just broadened my perspective a little bit, but also made me realize that I was quite naive to my own perspective being the only perspective, and made me kind of look at things a little bit differently, I think. Yeah,
that's a great answer. I think one of the biggest problems that we face kind of as a species is, well, you know, our perceptions of things are so different, and we kind of make the assumption that everyone sees the exact same world, and then they sort of process it differently, and then we think about it. But that's not actually what happens. Everyone actually sees a different world. You know, these things are like, our perceptions are so deeply rooted into us. It's not a case of we see the blank slate and then we twist it in our own little manner and then we boom. It's literally, everyone looks at a different world when they look at the world. So, and that we are all incredibly naive, and the fact that you've practiced, you know, don't practice something that you don't want to get good at, because you practice something, you'll get good at it eventually. And you've been, I guess, lucky enough to have been practicing something that is a good thing to get good at and will help you in many aspects of your life. So yeah, you know, we underestimate how different we are in a lot of ways. That causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, definitely. I think just in the main thing that it's made me kind of look at the world differently is just how, especially like little mundane things, simple things, not overlooking them.
Yeah. I think they're the most important things that we do.
Things, because it can be, yeah, exactly. And it can be so hard to find inspiration for things to write about, that a lot of the time you do end up just going back to the things that happen in everyday life, or the things that you overlook and the things you see that you just don't pay attention to, which actually have a lot more about them than you first perceive when you kind of just glaze over them.
Absolutely.
So I think definitely just looking at the little things and like appreciating smaller things has been something that is like made me do.
That's what happens when you take psychedelics. People that take psychedelics, they say that they're, you know, they used to look at a tree and just see a tree, and now they look at a tree and they see, like, you know, the branches, the angles of the branches, the bark, you know, they see it in so much more of an in-depth manner. And you are right. You know, beauty can be found anywhere, which I guess is kind of a good motto for your book, really. Okay, thank you. I'm so bad. They're always so unnatural, but I might stop doing outros actually, but we'll do it for this final one and see how it goes. Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on. I've had a great time, and I think we've talked about things in a far more sensing way than I often do on these podcasts, which I think is really important and something that you're obviously very in touch with and capable of doing. So that's great. Thank you for giving me that insight. And as you said, you are writing your second book, but this is the first book. I'll cover my face. I'll leave the link to it in the description in case anyone is interested. And yes, go and check out Sarah's TikTok, because she does a lot of she talks. It's always lovely to hear artists, you know, it's always, when you read or listen to an audiobook, it's always great to listen to the actual author say it, as opposed to some random guy or girl. So Sarah says them herself on TikTok, so that's always an added bonus. And yes, thank you very much for coming on, Sarah, and I'll see you all on the next one.